Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Just this.
Just this.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Citizen.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
It's my mistake, and let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
progress,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-host, Gordon Barnes. And today we're joined by Nicole Sauer, Program Manager and Staff Lawyer at Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan. Nicole will explain what Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan is all about, what services they provide, and who is helped by these services. Welcome, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
So, Gord, here we are.
Well, I'd like to extend a special welcome to Nicole, and I understand it's the first time you've been to the station. You were saying you've not been on air here before, but you've been to the garage sales previously here.
Yes, I'm a regular at the garage sale, but I've never actually had to talk into a microphone before, so this is a little new for me.
Well, welcome. We're really glad to have you here on the program today. And the garage sale is coming up fairly soon, isn't it, Jim?
June 9th.
Yep. That's great. So are they still accepting donations for the garage sale?
Yeah, I think if you have something that you want to give, they would, but they're busy sorting and stuff now. So,
Is that right?
But I don't think they'd turn anything away.
Okay. So June 9th, and what is it, all day, or do you need to get there really early to get the bargains? Is that the deal?
Well, early is always better because,
Okay. Yeah,
you do have people that do line up. They're at the door ready to go, and the sooner you get here, the sooner you get your pick of the really good stuff, you know, the good CDs, and there's audio equipment here. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's not just records?
It's not just records, no. Okay. No, there's some stereo equipment. I'm not sure what all they've got, anything musical.
Okay.
Anything musical. So it could be instruments. Sometimes it's instruments, that type of thing. But I'm not sure what all is available right now.
Great. And that's actually held here at the station?
It is.
Great.
Yeah.
So everybody can support community radio in Regina by supporting the garage sale.
Yep. It's always looked forward to every year. So I'd certainly welcome everybody to come. And you can get a tour of the station. I can bring people up and show them what's going on, and every once in a while, you'll find somebody that really thinks it's a good idea. And I know of one person in particular that I kind of suggested that they should, because of their particular interest, I suggested they should have their own show, and that's exactly what happened.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. So, Nicole, we're really very pleased that you're able to be here today and talk about pro bono law. What I thought I might do, just as we get into this discussion, as a, by way of introduction, because Amnesty International is interested in, and we regard our mandate is to create an awareness of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the various articles therein. I thought it might be worth referencing a few of those articles in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that speak specifically to legal issues. And I'm thinking specifically of Article 6, where it indicates that everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law, and Article 7, where all are equal before the law and entitled without discrimination to equal protection of the law. And another article, Article 10, where it says everyone is entitled to full equality to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal in the determination of his rights and obligations and of any criminal charge against him. Those are just a few of the sort of things that I thought jumped out at me when I looked at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and thought about our conversation today around legal issues and the services that are provided by pro bono law. So,
absolutely,
Nicole,
yeah.
I'm wondering, would you like to kind of help us by introducing what your role as an organization is in terms of Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan?
Sure, not a problem. Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan it's a nonprofit charitable corporation established in 2008 as a result of an Access to Justice Task Force that occurred in Saskatchewan, where they're trying to figure out, okay, you know, where are the gaps in services in Saskatchewan? As a result of that, Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan was formulated. And our job, our mandate, is to improve access to justice in Saskatchewan by creating, facilitating, and promoting opportunities for lawyers to provide pro bono legal services to persons of limited means. So what we try to do is we try to cover the gap between legal aid services and private practice. Legal aid has a very narrow mandate. They have quite stringent income guidelines. We have income guidelines as well, but they're a little bit more generous. And then there's private practice, and the people who can afford private practice are quite narrow in scope, to be honest with you. There's a large gap of people out there in this province who may need legal services but may not necessarily be able to afford legal services. So what we try to do at PBLS is promote pro bono work within the legal community and provide opportunities for lawyers to give back their time and provide pro bono services through some of the various programs that we have, as well as advocate for access to justice in the province. And there are a few other organizations in the country that are similar to ours, pro bono organizations that are province-based. So I believe we were the fourth one that was created in Canada.
Very interesting. So if somebody wasn't really sure what the term or phrase pro bono means, if I'm not a lawyer, what?
Yeah, we love our Latin.
What does that mean?
What it technically means is for the public good.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're doing work that is for the public good, for the public's benefit. That's right. Essentially what pro bono work is. It generally summarizes to free work. Work that lawyers are giving of their time voluntarily for free to assist an individual that may not necessarily receive that assistance otherwise.
So it's a little different from legal aid then, where you would work with a lawyer at the legal aid office.
Right. Legal aid has staffed lawyers who are great and they're very hardworking, who are paid as a legal aid lawyer to take on these files on a full representation basis. And legal aid lawyers, because of their mandate in Saskatchewan, they can deal with certain family law matters and certain criminal law matters, and that's it in this province. Mm-hmm. Pro bono works through volunteer lawyers. So these are volunteer lawyers. It could be legal aid lawyers or private practice lawyers or in-house lawyers, all of these people throughout the community, retired lawyers, articling students, law students, who are volunteering their time. So their time, they have their own full-time job, they're just volunteering with us as well.
I see. So how do people approach a lawyer if they're looking for pro bono help? Do they go directly to the lawyer? Would they contact your office?
Or? No, we kind of act as the gatekeeper for this work, so that the reason why lawyers will volunteer with us is because we will screen clients to make sure that they legitimately do require our services financially, or they have a matter that has legal merit, and it's a type of law that they're willing to practice in as well. So we have a 1-800 number. It's 1-855-833-PBLS.
Oh, nice.
So if somebody wants to find out if they qualify for our services and what service they qualify for, because we do have different programs, they can always call that number, and then we can figure out where they fit best if they do qualify for our services.
Okay. So you've got an office here in Regina?
We do, yeah.
And do you have an office other places in Saskatchewan?
No, it's a very, very tiny office here in Regina. But we have free legal clinics throughout the province.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and those are staffed by, what we do is we find a volunteer host organization in the community who's agreeing to donate some office space to us a few times a month to host a free legal clinic. So it's quite a low-cost model. It's very nice. And then we get volunteer lawyers in that local community to volunteer their time at the free legal clinic. So we do have several free legal clinics throughout the province, but just one main PBLS office in Regina.
Nice. So where would the free legal clinic in Regina take place?
That's operated at the Salvation Army, which is downtown on 13th Avenue.
Oh.
And that happens every Saturdays, but that's by appointment only. All of our free legal clinics are by appointment only.
Oh, okay.
So you have to call the 1-800 number to ensure that you qualify for our services.
So you don't just drop in?
No, you can't just drop in. First of all, we have to make sure you match our income criteria and you have a legal merit, and that we can match you with a lawyer who specializes in that area. And also, lawyers have to do things called conflict checks. They have to make sure that they're not, and their firm isn't, acting on the other side of that same file. So if a woman comes in with a family law matter, the lawyer who's seeing her has to make sure that they're not representing, and their firm isn't representing, her ex, for example,
sure,
before he can give her legal advice. So that's why we need to do this intake screening process. Right. And it makes it really easy for the lawyers to come in on Saturdays. They get to see these clients. They don't have to worry about any of these problems because we've taken care of it for them, and then they can leave. We were trying to do part of what our work is to try to make volunteering so easy for lawyers that they can't say no to me when I try to make them volunteer. That's my goal.
Right. So if you started in 2008, you must have seen sort of an increase in the kind of cases and the number of cases that pro bono lawyers are actually working on within the province. Are you able to kind of report on that at all? Or
Well, I was just looking at our annual report yesterday, and I think we helped just under 1,000, about 950-ish or so.
Really?
Individuals through our free legal clinics in the province, and it has been steadily increasing. Mm-hmm. And we keep growing. We added two new clinics already in 2012. We're opening a new one in North Battleford next week, actually. We're opening one in Meadow Lake in a few months, and hopefully one in LaRange towards the end of summer. So it just keeps growing. The need is there. It's just we have to have enough services for it. You know, the need is always going to be overwhelming for us. And it's definitely growing. The more services we have, and the more people find out about us.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, I was just wondering, are you finding that you're taking on do you take on human rights issues?
We do and we don't. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Human Rights Commission does take on a lot of those matters, and of course, things have changed
a little bit.
Yes, and we're kind of got our ear to the ground, so to speak, to see what's going to happen as a result of the changes.
So you really haven't seen
yet, okay. In terms of Human Rights Commission issues that is usually dealt with through the lawyers there, because they do have paid staff lawyers, full representation, so if we can send them there, awesome. But now things have changed a bit, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, access to housing and landlord-tenant issues, or for example, I consider a human rights issue being a child apprehension case where social services have come in and taken away your child. To me, that's a human rights issue as well. So we do deal with those types of things as well. But in terms of Human Rights Commission, we're kind of, we've got our ear to the ground to see what's going to happen
Yeah, just watching. And
yes.
Because, of course, now if the commissioner says there's no merit, you have no recourse except for Queen's Bench Court.
Right, exactly. Which does make it more difficult because the court process is much more formal, much more complicated than the tribunal process.
Right.
So it does make it more difficult for an individual who is unrepresented, which is the people we usually deal with at our office. Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you have a kind of number in terms of the number of lawyers in Saskatchewan that are willing to work through the pro bono law Saskatchewan, your organization,
right,
and provide services?
Again, just from the numbers I looked at yesterday, I'm pretty sure for 2011 we were at 214 lawyers.
Really?
And there's about 1,100 lawyers in the province.
Uh-huh.
So we're growing, we're doing well, we always need more.
right. And is that a question of sort of still needing to create awareness of the services and support you can provide through your organization to the legal community who are willing to do it?
it's a number of factors. One being, you know, who are we and what can we provide that's different from them doing pro bono work in their office? Another reason is lawyers are extremely busy people, not only including their work hours. You know, when I was in private practice, you're working 6-7 days a week, easy. Lawyers tend to be the people who people want on boards and community associations, and they're usually involved in politics. So there's a lot I'm trying to get them to do, and even more volunteer, even more volunteer work on top of what they're already doing. But, you know, we always say this is the kind of service, because we can practice law and we're the only people who can practice law, pro bono work is something we need to do because nobody else can do this. Anybody can sit on a board or do community association type work. We're the only people that can give legal services to individuals.
That's a good point, you know, in terms of a lawyer's decision about what they might contribute to you in the community. You know, those specialized things they can do in terms of providing legal services are important.
Right, exactly. And all of it is great, and all of it helps the community. Pro bono work as well is an addition to that. So it's an awareness. It's a trying to get busy people to do even more work. And it takes work getting the word out and getting some people to understand why this is important for our community as well.
And what about sort of the distribution of lawyers throughout Saskatchewan who are willing to participate in pro bono work through your organization? Would you say the concentration is in Saskatoon and Regina and it's harder in the rural communities and remote communities?
Absolutely. Simply because most of the lawyers are in Saskatoon or Regina. We have nobody likes to hear this and nobody cares who's not a lawyer, but we actually have a shortage of lawyers in the province.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunities here because of the booming economy, right? So there's a lot of lawyers in Saskatoon. There are a lot of lawyers in Regina. The law firms in smaller centers have a hard time getting lawyers to come to those smaller centers as it is. A lot of them are getting close to the retirement age, and transitioning actually in succession planning is actually a serious issue in our profession because it's hard for younger lawyers to move to smaller centers. So we do have a hard time just getting the amount of lawyers involved in the smaller centers, but there are a lot of dedicated people who have been volunteering. And for example, some of the communities are just crazy booming right now. Estevan, as an example, is just crazy with the oil and gas, and the lawyers there are so busy that, and we do have a clinic there, we do have volunteers there, but they're so busy that it's just difficult to get everybody to have the time to do this kind of work.
Right. I'm thinking that, you know, in terms of rural and remote communities in Saskatchewan, with the kinds of issues that you deal with, around, say, child and family services or family law, that must be really important to
absolutely
people being able to have access to legal counsel.
Right, and that is something we're actually working on. We're focusing on a lot in 2012 is mm-hmm. getting access to rural and remote communities. And what we have been looking to are communities just to start, like Meadow Lake and LaRange, where what we're probably going to do is set up sort of satellite free legal clinics where individuals can come to the office and they can connect via a Skype-based service to a lawyer in a larger center.
Really?
Like Saskatoon or Regina. Yes, we're working wow. on getting that project up and running. So a lawyer can sit in their office in Saskatoon, for example, and give legal advice to an individual who's in LaRange or mm-hmm. South End or somewhere, a northern community where otherwise there's no lawyers within a 100-mile radius.
So you're really looking at using the technology that's available now to provide access to legal services,
yes.
which is really an interesting direction to go.
Yes, exactly. There are a lot of other organizations who've been doing similar things like that in other mm-hmm. provinces, and we're just trying to do the same.
You know, something I'm not familiar with is the extent to which the legal aid system itself is distributed throughout the province
yes.
beyond Regina and Saskatoon. Is can you kind of?
They do have satellite. They do have offices in various communities. For example, there's an office in LaRange. There's an office in PA, Swift Current, Moose Jaw. They do have several offices
okay.
throughout the entire province.
There's one in Estevan as
yes,
well.
Yes, there is yeah. one in Estevan.
Yeah, there used to be one in Weyburn, but that got closed.
Right, exactly, because
yeah.
one of the lawyer moved. Unfortunately, there was just, I believe there was just one lawyer working there. Mm. So they do have offices throughout the province staffed by, you know, an amount of, to be frank, a small amount of individuals compared
right.
to the workload that they have. Legal aid lawyers are just, they just have so much on their plate, especially mm-hmm. in the smaller communities when it's, you know, just them. And a lot of people in rural, remote communities will qualify for their services. So it's quite a big workload.
So how do people make a decision if they are thinking they need legal assistance, maybe in terms of, first of all, approaching your office or legal aid? Is there advice that you would give people in that regard?
Absolutely. We consider our office, we are not an alternative to legal aid. We are the last resort after legal aid.
Okay.
So an individual should always check with legal aid first before they come to us. Legal aid is able to provide full representation services, whereas more likely than not, what you'll get through our office is what we call assisted self-representation services through our free legal clinic, where you're representing yourself on your legal matter, but you're seeing a lawyer at our clinic to receive legal advice and information, forms, etc., on how to proceed forward with your issue.
Oh, okay.
So legal aid is always your best bet. It's always the better option than us. And we ideally, if legal aid was funded appropriately, we would not have to exist in the capacity that we exist. We're not trying to compete with legal aid. We're trying to offer services that legal aid unfortunately can't provide mm-hmm. at the moment. And we're always trying to promote better funding towards legal aid.
So what, I'm just kind of curious, you know, because you do work with respect to a number of areas, and maybe it would be worth you kind of speaking to that in terms of the different areas of law that you might work on.
Sure. At our clinics, we'll see any type of area of law that the lawyer practices in. And what we see the majority of lately has been family law, some civil litigation, and immigration law. Immigration law has been steadily on the increase in terms of issues in this province in
That's
the past couple of years. Yeah, it's been... Yes, even I started about a year ago, and I've seen it increase steadily since I've been here.
So would that include, when you talk about immigration law, would that include people who are dealing with a refugee claim and maybe having problems with that process?
Yes, exactly. A lot of people that come to our office won't be people who are going through business class or things like that because they have the funding for a lawyer, or their employers are sponsoring them and their lawyers are dealing with it. We get a lot of refugee applicants who come through our office. So what we'll assist them with is we have a thing called a panel program where we do provide for some people, we're able to provide full representation services where we can have a lawyer assist them through and appear on their behalf for their refugee hearing. A lot of people will immigrate to Canada and land in maybe a location in Ontario where, and Ontario's legal aid system does provide lawyers for immigration law matters. So they kind of come here, they kind of come to Ontario thinking that, okay, this is awesome. I get legal representation, I get all this help, social services, housing, et cetera, et cetera. And then they're told, you know, Saskatchewan is a booming economy right now. You need to come to Saskatchewan if you want to get work. We're hiring tons of laborers. Go to Saskatchewan. And then they come to Saskatchewan and then find out that they're on their own in terms of their refugee hearing. Mm-hmm. And it's quite daunting and it's quite scary, especially for individuals who English is usually their second language and they maybe just came here with the clothing on their backs. Mm-hmm. I find immigration law myself difficult and confusing, and mm-hmm. English is my first language.
Right.
So
right.
I always have a soft spot for these people who come through our doors. So we do provide, through our panel program, we can offer full representation lawyers who've agreed to volunteer their time, and it's all pro bono volunteer basis to help these individuals out who wouldn't otherwise receive this service.
I've actually run into this specific issue that you've mentioned about the access to legal aid in Ontario, and that's one of the things that would be good to kind of have a conversation about in a few minutes after the break, I guess. But
time for the break.
We can do that.
And,
that's great.
We'll be back, and I've got some special music to play, and then we'll resume our conversation with Nicole Tsar.
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people it and everywhere. We the people here don't want war. Hey there, Mr. Black Man, can you hear me? I don't want your diamond or your game. I just want to be someone known to you as me. And I will bet my life you want the same. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell people everywhere. We the people here don't want war. 700 million, are you listening? Most of what you read, most of what you read is made of lies. Speaking one to one, ain't it everybody's son? To wait till in the morning when you arrive. Some folks enjoy doing battle, like presidents, prime ministers, and kings. So let us build them shells, so they might fight among themselves. To leave us be who those who want to sing. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you never, never sung.
wait till in the morning when we arrive, when we arrive.
Speaking one to one,
ain't it everybody, everybody in the sun. Wait till in the morning when we arrive, arrive.
And that was a simple song of freedom sung by Tim Hardin. And he hasn't been around for a while. He was born in 1941, but checked out a little early in 1980. So I just thought we'd do something a little different there. And I think he was also at Woodstock.
Wow. Yeah. A bit of history there.
Yeah. So it's I'm Jim Hutchings, and Gord Barnes is with me. And we're talking to Nicole Sauer, the program manager and staff lawyer at Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan.
And welcome back to the second half of the show, Nicole. We're really, as I said earlier, very pleased that we're able to have you on the program this afternoon to talk about the work of Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan. We were talking just before the break about some of the situations where people do come to Canada and make a refugee claim and maybe first arrive in Ontario, where the legal aid system does provide assistance through that process to refugee claimants. But that isn't available here in Saskatchewan through our legal aid system.
Correct.
Here. And that does create a problem. I know personally I've run into individuals here in Saskatchewan who have discovered that, and it's been a real problem. I actually know personally through my amnesty work some of the people in the Ontario system in legal aid who work on refugee issues, and they're really good folks and have a lot of experience. And actually,
absolutely,
some of those folks have also provided a leadership role in the Canadian section of Amnesty International. Just amazing contribution. And
that's great.
It's something that I'm hoping would change in the future within our legal aid system in Saskatchewan, because, you know, when people are dealing with that whole transition and possibly you know, fleeing very difficult circumstances from other countries and making a refugee claim, we need to, I think, provide as much support as possible to get them through the process.
Absolutely, and it is a tricky process, so it is definitely necessary. And it does make sense that in the past, legal aid may not have been funded for this type of law before, because immigration law wasn't necessarily a big area in Saskatchewan. There wasn't a lot of people immigrating to Saskatchewan, especially not refugee status individuals. But that time has definitely changed, and that's part of our economic boom. So when there's an economic boom in the province, we also have to remember the people who may not necessarily benefit from these great economic times for other people.
Right, great. I wonder, are there particular areas of law that through Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan people aren't able to get assistance for? Maybe they qualify in terms of income to get your services, but there might be an area of law, like you've covered things like immigration law in our discussion, child and family services, and family law, but are there things that, you know, if you approach a lawyer through Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan that you can't get help with?
Honestly, not too much. We can usually cover most areas of law within our clinics. However, there's usually a few months wait before you're able to see a lawyer through our free legal clinics. Family law is one where there's a very, very, very high need, and a lot of people come to our office trying to look for a full-service family law lawyer. And because the need is so overwhelming, that's something that, that's actually one of the main areas where there's no way we'd be able to provide you with a full representation lawyer, simply because the need is so overwhelming. And there are actually fewer lawyers in the province practicing family law, and they're at the point where they're turning away paying clients. So it's nearly impossible for me to get them to take on a full representation lawyer or a full representation client for free when they're turning away paying clients. So individuals like that, though, we will try and get them assistance through our free legal clinic. And then we do have other panel programs similar to the immigration one that I talked about, where we will provide some full representation services if they qualify. Another big one is our child and youth representation panel program, where we'll provide a child lawyer, a lawyer who acts for a child in an apprehension matter. So usually if social services gets involved in a family there and it goes to court, there'll be a lawyer for social services, a lawyer if the individuals qualify for legal aid, a legal aid lawyer usually for the family, for the parents, but then there's no one there to act for the child and to convey the wishes of the child. So that's what our program is trying to do.
Great. So I guess one of the areas of law that I was warning about when I asked that question will be if somebody is facing criminal charges and whether they could access services through pro bono law.
Right. Well, number one, we would make sure that they do not qualify for legal aid.
Okay.
And then they could seek our services through our free legal clinic. That's another thing. Big trial things are difficult for us to make a full representation referral for. Mm-hmm. So usually those individuals would have to go through our free legal clinic. And we do have some very great and prominent criminal law lawyers, especially I'm thinking of Regina in particular, who do come to our free legal clinic and who have agreed to volunteer their time.
Is that right?
Yeah. So what they'll do there is they'll provide, you get an hour to speak with a lawyer. They'll provide you with advice and information related to your issue. They won't take on your case, full representation. You're still representing yourself.
Okay.
But you're getting advice and information from this lawyer who specializes in that area.
I see. Okay. So, you know, for somebody who hasn't got a great knowledge of how all that works, many of us would, you know, often read in the newspaper where the court might even appoint a lawyer in a to assist with the defense of somebody.
Yes.
What does that mean, and how does that work?
Essentially, court-appointed counsel occurs if legal aid is no longer appropriate for whatever reason or they don't qualify for legal aid, but the court still feels that, and this individual has financial hardship, and so therefore cannot afford private practice lawyers, but the court feels that a lawyer is integral to the proper functioning of this issue or this individual's defense, they will appoint court-appointed counsel, which means a lawyer has agreed to take on this case at a tariff. So the court will pay them a certain fee to allow them to represent this individual.
So do you actually see people go through the system? I'm thinking particularly of the criminal justice system.
Okay.
Unrepresented at times?
Sometimes, yes. And it can be for different reasons. It could be because of finances, but there are also a lot of individuals who simply do not want legal counsel as well. Mm-hmm. So that can be another area. And then they can still receive assistance through us if they want to. But that's one area. Criminal law is where legal aid has obviously focused a lot of their funding and a lot of their attention for obvious and just reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, for example, there's duty counsel there as well. If you're being detained, you have the right to call a lawyer, and duty counsel is available to you. Mm-hmm. So their criminal law is one of the areas. And then, for example, if you don't qualify for legal aid, that's an area where court-appointed counsel gets appointed quite often. I'm thinking of murder trials and things like that, because it's quite obvious to the court that a person's liberty is at stake, and it's quite obvious that an injustice is done if an individual who wants legal counsel is unable to receive it.
Right. You know, you're raising another area where I was kind of being curious, is because you know, unfortunately, we get a lot of information about the law from drama and TV shows that maybe not fair representation of what's going on in the legal system here in Saskatchewan. But what are people's rights with respect to getting counsel before they're questioned, for example, by the police in a criminal case?
Well, I'm not an expert in criminal law.
But may not be a fair question then.
Well, pursuant to our Constitution or our Charter of Rights, we do have the right to be informed that we have the right to contact counsel if we wish.
Oh, okay.
So an officer before, but And again, that's vague because it depends on, you know, is this individual being questioned or is it not? It's all gray legalese.
All right.
So in generically speaking,
okay,
we have the right to be informed of our right to contact counsel.
Okay. Okay. That helps. That's good. I think that's something that many people really struggle with in terms of when they should be sort of refusing to answer questions.
Right. And that's a part of our services, and what we're trying to do at PBLS is to just give the public a better awareness of what their rights are, not just with respect to criminal law or the charter, but also, you know, landlord-tenant issues or bankruptcy issues. Just generally speaking, what are your rights as you go about your day? Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that we at PBLS try to work on, different types of outreach services.
Right. I'm wondering about the sort of growing area of alternative dispute resolution and where that's going in Saskatchewan from your perspective. And you hear a lot of discussion about things like restorative justice and whether that's, those alternative systems and the restorative one, it would be something that people who are getting assistance through Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan would necessarily get pointed in that direction.
There are some great programs that are in Saskatchewan, and it's definitely a growing area in the province. For example, in Regina here, we have a drug court and domestic violence court, which are specifically tailored to fit certain types of criminal issues, and trying to integrate more restorative justice into the criminal justice system. Also, throughout the profession, we've been encouraged by the judiciary to better promote and better access mediation services through civil law matters. It's actually a requirement now that you have to go through mandatory mediation. And there's been a bit more promotion towards family law matters, at least making individuals aware that mediation is available should they want it. And there's a growing trend in Saskatchewan, especially for family law lawyers, to become collaborative family law lawyers, which is a type of mediation where everybody kind of sits in a room and works together to figure out how we can solve these problems without having to go to court. So it's not necessarily a PBLS issue, but it is a, I would say, Saskatchewan bar issue. The whole legal community is focusing on this and looking at it as a way of dealing with what is, you know, it's clearly an issue in access to justice within our system.
So access to things like, the alternatives of sentencing circles and healing circles may be a good conversation for a future Human Rights Radio program, Jim.
Well, I was thinking about Bill C-10 and how the government seems to be going towards mandatory sentencing.
Mandatory minimum sentences.
Giving judges less opportunity to get creative with their sentences.
Yes, and the Canadian Bar Association, which is our overarching, there's a Saskatchewan Bar Association, and then the Canadian Bar Association for the whole country has made it very public that they're not okay with Bill C-10 and that they don't approve of what's occurring in Bill C-10.
It just seems all counterintuitive. All the research and studies that have been going on are pointing away from the direction that the government seems to be going in.
Absolutely.
Not only that, that they're not going to accomplish this more secure environment that they say they're trying to achieve.
Right, exactly.
They're not going to keep, they're not going to prevent crime. You know, they're actually going to do just the opposite.
Right, and a lot of federal prison programming is being cut down as a result of Bill C-10 as well, in terms of programs that prisoners can access in order to better integrate themselves back into society once they're released.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing. I don't quite understand why they're doing this, because I'm sure any organization that has anything at all to do with rehabilitating or, you know, looking after prisoners after they've gone through the system or as they're going through the system. I don't think anybody is in favor of the direction that the government is going in.
No, I don't think so either.
So they're just ignoring. Well, they're obviously paying attention to somebody, but I'm not sure who that is.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting to hear, you know, that the legal community particularly has concerns about that direction. And I'm hopeful that maybe by virtue of that, that not all the decisions that appear to be or the direction might be changed. You never know.
Right. And, I can't speak to it with authority because I'm not a CBA.
Sure.
I am a CBA member, but not necessarily the
right.
the spokesperson for the CBA, but I can say that they have made it public that they do not approve of Bill C-10.
Right. Nicole, you know, I was thinking before we get too close to the end of the program, we should probably provide the information about how people can contact Pro Bono Law Saskatchewan again. Do you want to go through that process?
Yeah, for sure. If anybody listening wants to find out whether or not they can access our services, or if there's any lawyer listening who would like to volunteer with us, because we are always looking for more volunteers, they can call our toll-free number, which is 1-855-833-PBLS, or they can check out our website, which is www.pblsask.ca, and then we can point them in the right direction from there.
That's really helpful. It's a great conversation to have in terms of how people can get access to an incredibly important service. And actually, you know, legal services are something that in a way are referred to quite directly in the Universal Declaration of Rights.
And right, exactly.
I appreciate you taking the time today to be on the program. I'm hoping we can have this kind of conversation again with you in the future, because I'm sure there'll be other issues, and maybe other people who have been listening today will come up with other questions.
Absolutely, for sure.
One thing I'm curious about, I would imagine most law firms are aware of your existence, and if somebody comes in the door with a problem and they don't have the money to to actually pay for their work, they would know of your existence and they'd be able to steer them in your direction.
Yes, yeah, most law firms around do know that we exist and what we do. Some law firms will still do pro bono work within their offices. But if they have time, exactly. Yeah. And we try to make it a bit easier for individuals to access pro bono services by coming through us. Whichever way they receive pro bono work is fine by me, as long as it's being done.
I'm just wondering what your background was before you did the pro bono stuff. I'm just wondering how you sort of went in this direction of...
Well, before I joined Pro Bono Law, I was working in private practice in Regina. I had worked for about 2 years. I had finished school, and then I worked for about 2 years. And then before I did that, when I really became interested in poverty law and access to justice issues was in law school in Saskatoon. There's an organization called CLASIC, which is kind of similar to ours, but they work just within Saskatoon, and we work a lot with them. But they utilize law students and some lawyers that are staffed to assist individuals who wouldn't otherwise receive representation in the Saskatoon area. And there I got a real crash course on what individuals around my city are facing that you don't necessarily know if you don't open your eyes to it. So this became an interest in mine. And I volunteered with PBLS well in private practice before I actually came on as staff lawyer and programs manager.
So you're full time with this now.
Yeah. Right. It's a new position. We're a real baby organization formed in 2008. There was just one, Kara Dawn Jordan, our executive director, and a half time assistant. It was just her, and we finally had the funding for one more full time lawyer. So this position came open, and I was lucky enough to receive it.
So are you hoping for or planning on some sort of expansion?
We're always hoping on expansion.
What does the future hold?
Well, we're always, right now, we're really looking towards more free legal clinics expanding our communication strategy, more volunteer lawyers. And if the funding is there, then maybe we can get a full-time lawyer doing duty counsel work in civil chambers or family chambers. That would be fantastic. So those are dreams right now, but we're going to work on the volunteer programs that we can because they're limited.
Right.
And we don't need funding for them necessarily.
Do you think that there's enough in schools, like high school, for example, legal classes so that people know, have a better understanding of what their rights are? Just everyday legal things that...
Right. I know there are some law classes in some high schools that are great in terms of letting people know what the charter is and what the charter means for them. But I think what would also be important is for students to realize what some individuals are facing in their own community that they may not necessarily see because they're living in a different part of town than they live in, or it's not people they normally... deal with.
Right.
And access to justice issues can be real problems for them. And I'm not sure if the word is getting out about that, but I'm hoping it is.
Right. Yeah. I suppose there could be some sort of an interaction between, say, an Amnesty International club, you know, something to do with human rights and, you know, legal issues always seem to be integral with human rights.
For
don't
sure,
they?
It's all it's all intertwined, really. So there's definitely a room for partnership there.
Yeah, yeah. Education is so important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the program. It's just been a great discussion and very informative for me in terms of the work you're doing.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How are we doing for time, Jim?
Oh, we've got about 3 minutes here.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess one of the things that I'm wondering if we might just go back to and is that discussion we had on the garage sale, because that's coming up fairly soon. And
it is.
Maybe mention if you could when that is and how people can help community radio in Regina.
Well, it is going to, I'm just looking, I found a poster here, and it's going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, June the 9th, and it will run to 5 p.m. And I'd just like to remind people again that this is their opportunity to explore. They can come and see what the radio station is all about. And we invite them to come up and talk to us live on the air. And we can talk about music, and we'll play a selection of their favorite music on the program as we're discussing things with them. That's a lot of fun.
Well, that'll be a different day. You mean you actually, while you're at the garage sale, can come up here and
exactly.
go on air? Wow.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Not everybody wants to do it, but but there are a few that do. And like I say, one person I suggested to him that he would enjoy doing a program with his particular genre of music, and he's since done that. And so we got a new program that's very interesting. Yeah.
So for people who have never been to the community radio station here in Regina, what part of town is it in again?
It's at the old GMC building, and it's the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg.
Okay.
And we're up on the third floor, and I think that's where we're going to be doing the sale as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think last year it was downstairs, but I don't believe it's downstairs this time. And we are still looking... Well, we're sorting more than anything else. We have had a few donations lately, but we're more into sorting the equipment and the CDs and that sort of thing. But it is a major fundraiser for us, and we have a lot of fun with it as well.
You know, the station's just got a fabulous history in terms of providing a variety of opportunities for people in the community in terms of programming, and this is a great way to support the station.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, it's time to go, so we're closing this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, and we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. Our goal is to increase the awareness of and contribute to a discussion of human rights issues at home and around the world. To discover how you can contribute to the abolition of human rights violations, visit our website at amnestysaskatchewan.ca or check out our Facebook group at Amnesty International Saskatchewan and follow the links. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."